Okay, Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please state your name and your ABC number for the record?
My name is Joseph Anthony Valenzuela, 135900.
All right, thank you, sir. You're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's listed on your warrant of arrest. And you received a paper that notified you about this hearing. I see that you signed it on March 1st. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and on that paper are your rights, your hearing rights, and one of those is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Did you hire a lawyer today, sir, or will you be representing yourself?
I'll be representing myself, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board who are conducting this hearing. If you look at the far end of the bench from me, down to your right, is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to him, the Honorable Michael Johnson. In the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair for this hearing today. Also with us, also with us in the room, you can see him now, is Mr. Westby, who's with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Valenzuela and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Valenzuela, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Valenzuela, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false. If you believe it's false, then we'll take testimony from Mr. Westby, and the board will make the final determination as to whether you violated your conditions. So do you understand the process?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, let's start with phase one then. And here is the allegation. It is that you were in violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence from 7421 East Rose Drive in Tucson on or about November 22nd, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. At that point, your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Valenzuela, is that true or false?
That was true, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Valenzuela's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Seconded. Motion by myself, seconded by Dr. Wright, agreed by Mr. Johnson and Mr. Neal. So, Mr. Valenzuela, we can start phase two of your hearing, and which is probably the more important to you, which is determine if your supervision is reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far along, I want to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information about you. So just stay on the line, and we'll be right back with you, sir.
Okay, ma'am.
On July 12, 2017, Mr. Valenzuela was released from DOC. He was arrested February 9th, 2018 by Tucson PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody February 9th, 2018 with an adjusted CCD of March 12th, 2019, which reflects 79 absconding. Criminal conviction, 2009, aggravated DUI, 10 years. Bar convictions, 1998, aggravated assault, 8 years, 9 months. 2008, theft means of transportation, 3.5 years. This is his third term in DOC, CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. Gang information notes, he's a self-admitted member of the Hollywood Barrio, Phoenix Criminal Street Gang. Prior terms of supervision, 2005, TIS release, arrested on new felony charge, revoked by the BOEC. 2008, TIS release, arrested on new felony charge, criminal damage, HCCD in jail. This disciplinary is lengthy and significant, with drugs and violence noted. Other arrest, 1991, marijuana violation, Arizona, juvenile probation, 1993, burglary, second degree, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1993, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, juvenile probation. 1993, criminal trespass, first degree, Arizona, juvenile detention. 1993, criminal damage, Arizona, juvenile detention. 1994, burglary, second degree, Arizona, juvenile detention. His community risk score is a G7VA.
Thank you, Mr. Raspy. So, Mr. Valenzuela, it looks like you were approved to live with your mother in Tucson. Is that the only place you lived during your community period, during your period in the community?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I was living with my father, but this was like 1997 when I first seen him.
Okay. But just this term, you were with your mother?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And when you were working?
Yes.
Looks like there's a note with Intel Movers, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And anywhere else, or just that, just there?
I was just there for a little while, then I broke my kneecap.
Oh.
And then, yeah, I broke my kneecap, and I stopped working there, and then after 5 weeks later, I went back to work with the broken kneecap. I went to work too soon, and now my knee's kind of messed up, and so that's why I didn't really go to work at the time, because my kneecap was all messed up.
Okay.
And it's verification from St. Joseph's Hospital saying my kneecap was broke.
Okay.
In Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
And since I've been, I wrote to Old Pueblo Community Service in Tucson, Arizona. I sent the application and everything, and me, myself, I have an alcohol problem. And I've been going to AA in prison here. I've been going to church services, and I went to a self-abuse class here. And it says when your first step is to admit that you have an alcohol problem, and I do. And ever since I've committed a crime or anything like that, it's because of alcohol. And I need a rehabilitation because prison is not going to help me. It hasn't helped me yet. And I never asked for help. I've never been through this. I always committed another crime coming back to prison. This time I did it because I wanted help. And I'm back on my medication here. I've been taking my medication here called Paxil. And I tried every medication that was possible for me. DOC, nothing's ever worked. And I've been taking this Paxil for about a week now. And it's been helping me thinking process and everything. And the doctor said I have post-traumatic stress disorder and voices, and I'm doing good now. I'm level-headed. And I wanted to try to go to this rehabilitation center because I never had a chance like this.
All right, so we're certainly glad to hear that you're feeling better. That must be a big positive for you. What were you doing when the Tucson PD arrested you?
I was at my aunt's house because she's in a wheelchair. And I guess I was playing the radio too loud. And I guess the neighbors called the police and they came and asked my name.
Sure. And they ran and they saw you had the warrant. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't run. I didn't do nothing.
Right. So it looks like you also have to submit some urines at task.
Yes,
and it
ma'am.
Looks like you had some that you failed to test. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. It looks like you didn't go when your color was called. And it looks like one of those at one point here, October 31st, you tested positive for methamphetamine, sir. What was that about?
Well, I was at work, and one of my friends, he goes into school kicking someone. I went to motels, there were some girls there, and I just did 8.5 years, and I was doing good, I was going to work, and I tried it, and that was not my drug of choice. It was an experiment that I've done, and I regret it, and I got scared. I thought my people was going to arrest me. I'm just being honest with you. And I went to Phoenix, and I've never been through this kind of a situation that I'm in now. Usually I messed up and I regret the decision I made out there. My thinking process wasn't doing so good out there.
So you hadn't used meth before just then? That was the only time?
No, I never have.
Did you use other drugs in your life?
Cocaine.
Oh, cocaine. I see.
Back in 1997,
okay.
I was shot, yeah.
So you used, formerly you used cocaine.
Yeah, I haven't used cocaine since 1997.
So, why again did you not contact your parole officer?
Because I was scared, because I had a mess in my system, and I got scared, and I thought they were going to come and arrest me, so I left.
Okay, so that was in October, and that was about your 79 abscond days.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if fellow board members have any questions for you. Anyone have a question for Mr. Valenzuela? Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement to the board, if you would just not repeat something you've already told us.
Okay.
So what else would you like the board to know?
I want to get a chance to prove myself in the community that I can do better. If I go to this rehabilitation center for 90 days, I can help myself and go to AA and do what's right for better myself in life and be a productive person out there in the streets and get a job. I have a 21-year-old daughter that now I'm out there finding, but I never contacted her because I was afraid of rejection of her, and I would take this opportunity to get to know her why I'm out there rehab, because I never had a chance to better my life or anything like that. And this rehab is probably good for me. I know it'll be good for me because I need it. I'm an alcoholic, and every time I do get in trouble, it's because I commit crimes and I need treatment. And prison is not going to give me treatment that I need. There's no AA, there's no nothing in the prison where we can start a life in there, but it's all, there's more drugs and more alcohol in where I'm at right now than there is on the streets. Even at the officers, it's just so polluted with drugs, phones, everything in this prison. It's just, I need to just try to better my life, and I can better do it where I'm at right now. I need help, and I admit that I need help, and I'm asking for help.
Okay, sir, thank you very much for your statement. The board is going to go into discussion, sir. We don't discuss cases before we get in this room, so we've not talked about your case before right now. And all we ask is you just remain on the line there and just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
I have one more question, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you get my client application for Old Level Community Service? The written statement I wrote you?
Let me look and see if it's in this packet. We have, yes, I was just going to say, we have something for Casa Santa Clara for men.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. Yes, we have it right here. Yeah, they do a pretty good job with these packets with getting things in here. So we have a full picture of you because we want to know as much about you as possible. Okay, sir. Just hold on, and the board will be right back with you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Valenzuela was out. He freely admits that he's an alcoholic, and alcohol has been a problem for him, it looks like, most of his life. He's been diagnosed with PTSD, and has finally gotten, now that he's back in prison, he's got on some mental health meds that seem to be working for him, and that is a good thing. He did use methamphetamine. Well, he says just that one time there was somebody at work had it and gave it to him, but he didn't like it. So we're glad about that too, because that means he won't use that again. And he had formerly used cocaine, but hasn't used that for a while. He unfortunately broke his kneecap while working, which I've heard is very painful, and isn't able to work right now. On the plus side, he has a 21-year-old daughter that he needs to reconnect with and needs to be a role model for her. I'm just having a hard time overlooking the fact that he absconded for 79 days, and I would listen to any input from fellow board members.
Okay. I agree with you.
I'm going to make a motion then, based on information number 2017W4071, our conversation with Mr. Valenzuela, information provided by Mr. Westby. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Valenzuela was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminalizer company, specifically by using methamphetamine on supervision and also by absconding for 79 days.
Second. Agree.
Thank you. Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. White and Mr. Neal. Mr. Valenzuela, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision. You've got a community supervision end date of about a year from now. So you'll remain where you are or within the prison system. We do encourage you to be involved in AA wherever possible. I know AA is available at most of the prison units. It is available. So please continue to be involved in that. It's for your own safety, and we're glad that the mental health meds are working for you, and that situation's kind of settling down, because that has to be very difficult. So we want to thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. Your hearing is concluded, and if you'd just give the phone back to your CO3, we'd appreciate it.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Did you guys call my mom? You guys are supposed to call my mom, so my mom can talk on my behalf. Yeah, they do that.
See, I don't have any notification that we were supposed to. Did you tell us at the beginning of the hearing?
You guys told me to write you guys a letter, and I gave you all the information about all that, and you guys should have called her.
It would have been good for you to bring that up at the beginning of your hearing, sir. So at this point, your hearing has been conducted.
So the 39 days, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
So the 10 years the judge committed me in 2009 for aggravated DUI, for being an alcoholic, gave me 10 years for that. I have to, my 10-year mark is January 31st of 2019.
Right.
I gotta do that. And then after that, I gotta go back on parole.
Your release date is about March 12th of 2019. And
so that's...
And what they do is when you abscond, they'll tack the days on at the end, because you still owe that time.
So, but I understand. I committed my crime in 2009, January 31st.
Right.
The judge gave me 10 years.
Right.
So my 10 years is up January of 19.
Right.
So how do you give me... another 15 months parole, but in prison.
This is...
When I was out there for 5 months doing good, then when I needed to do an encounter for the 79 days, how they didn't give me more time when I didn't
they tack, more
crime.
They tack the 79 days that you were absconded, they tack that on at the end of your sentence. Because you still owe the state that time. So if you have specific questions about time comp, ask your CO3, because I'm certainly no expert on time comp. But your CO3 would be able to get in touch with the time comp people.
So if I get more write-ups for anything else, they can't give me more time?
Oh yeah, they can still add more time. Because you're in the custody now, so you would want to make sure that you still are. I mean, the March 12th date is... barring any additional discipline.
Is that right?
You keep saying March 12th.
Is
it March 12th?
Husky Nita's, the first mark.
March 12th.
March 12th. March 12th, when they were.
Of 2019.
Yeah.
So, sir, your hearing is concluded, and if you'd just give the phone back to your CO3, we'd appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.